I'm speaking with Dr. Janet Sherman. Dr. Sherman, you used to work at the Naval Radiological Defense Laboratory at Hunters Point. Is that correct?
Yes, I did. I worked there in the 1950s doing research on the effects of atomic bombs on animals.
And what training did you have for that? And how did you come to be at Baby Hunters Point at that laboratory?
Well, I have a bachelor's degree in biology and chemistry. And I had come to the Bay Area because my husband was in the Navy. And I needed work, and I started initially at the AEC facility at Berkeley, working at Crocker and Donner Labs, and then I came over to the Navy Radiation Lab to do animal research, and we studied animals who were exposed to nuclear to radiation and thermal burns.
What kind of experimentation do you do? What kind of examination do you do with those animals?
Well, the animals were burned either in the laboratory and radiated in the laboratory, and some were radiated at the Nevada test site. And we studied the blood formation, the effects on the kidneys, the lungs, and various parts of the body. And we did studies, particularly what happened with changes in the bone marrow, whether they developed leukemia or whether they developed a bone marrow failure or not.
And what was done with the results of these studies?
Well, I am the author of one of the papers that came out in 1954, I believe it is. The rest of the work was classified, and I don't know if it's ever been, I'm sure probably it's been released now, but I never saw any of the data in print for a number of years. It was all classified and kept secret by the government.
Actually, I know quite a bit of material concerning that laboratory is still declassified, as I understand. What kind of protection did workers have at that laboratory at the time you were working there?
Well, I don't recall any particular kinds of protection, but of course when the animals were radiated, they were radiated in a separate area, and when the animals from the atomic bomb shots were, obviously I wasn't there. We didn't get the animals until after they were radiated.
And what was done with the animals when you were finished doing examining them?
Well, many of them, of course, died. And they all died, obviously.
How were they disposed of?
That I don't know. I'm sure they were probably incinerated, I think. I don't know, really.
Because there have been a number of questions about what was done with the residue of these examinations. Were you doing any examination or knew of any examinations, experimentation going on with humans at the laboratory while you were there?
I was not aware of any human experiments. I do know that when I worked at the Atomic Energy Commission lab over at Berkeley, that studies were being used on cancer patients, desperately ill cancer patients, radioactive gold and P-132 and other radioactive substances to try and help patients who had far advanced cancers. Now, those, one of them in particular, I describe in my book, and I stood at the door with a Geiger counter, and it was practically off the scale, and I was standing in the door. So goodness knows what the dose that the patient received. It was an attempt to cure her ovarian cancer. I don't know what happened to the lady after that, but the place was, heavily contaminated as a result.
Now, your experience at the Naval Radiological Defense Laboratory kind of inspired you to become a doctor and examine this problem in greater detail?
Yes, I thought, I don't think I want to kill and harm any more animals as long as I live. And I applied for medical school after I worked 8 years in research and went to medical school and graduated in 1964. And since then, I've practiced internal medicine and toxicology. Now, toxicology includes chemicals that cause cancer and birth defects as well as radiation that causes cancer and birth defects.
And where are you practicing?
I'm now in Virginia, outside of Washington, D.C., but I have practiced in Hawaii and Michigan.
Do you notice in the different places that you've lived different reactions in terms of the population to the toxic contamination of the area?
You mean the individuals? Oh, yes. In one case, I was invited to come to the San Francisco Bay Area with my equipment, and I examined, I think, 10 or 12 men in the course of a week, who had worked in the naval shipyard at Hunters Point and were exposed to asbestos. And there is a disease called mesothelioma, which is a particularly serious malignancy. And I saw 3 men in one day with mesothelioma, and most doctors never see one in 40 years of practice. So Hunter's Point has not only radioactive materials, but it also has asbestos left over from the shipbuilding and ship refitting, and of course many, many, many chemicals. I was sent a report recently that there's benzene and toluene and ethyl benzene in the schools in Hunter's Point, which of great concern.
And now, you mentioned asbestos. I remember reading a book, Toxicology, published in the 30s, and they said asbestos was in the minds of the workers, and they were malingering those who complained about it. When was asbestos discovered to be as toxic and dangerous as it is?
My first article that I've found on asbestos hazardousness was 1898 in London, and they at that time said that this was one of the dangerous trades, and it was 1898. We knew by 1935 that it caused cancer, so there's been no excuse whatsoever not to do something about it.
Now, you're in here in San Francisco today to talk about the situation at Bayview Hunter's Point where you once worked. What specifically brings you here today?
Well, we're working on the baby teeth project. I'm one of the research physicians, and we're collecting baby teeth from all over the United States to measure strontium 90 levels. And this is one of the 200 or so radioactive elements that are given off in atomic bombs and by nuclear power plants. Well, since we've had no above-ground nuclear testing, that we're finding now that the strontium 90 is coming from nuclear power plants. And, of course, from old radioactive sites where it's left over from previous work, such as Hanford and places like Hunter's Point.
Now, I remember there was a period of time where strontium 90 was in the newspapers all the time, the concern about strontium 90, and then it just disappeared. Strontium 90 did disappear, but what was the cause of this disappearance from the media?
Very interesting. For 1958 to 63, 50,000 baby teeth were collected in the St. Louis area and tested for strontium 90, which led to the above ground test ban. After that, the government collected bones from people who were killed in accidents and tested for strontium 90 in the bones. And then during the Reagan administration, that program was stopped. We are the only people in the world now testing strontium 90 in we need baby teeth, and we're here to ask people, please send us your baby teeth. And I don't mean just current children. Anybody who was born after 1945, if their mother saved their baby teeth in her jewelry drawer or father saved them in his cigar box, we want those teeth. And it doesn't matter what year they were born, as long as it's after 1945.
This project is called the Tooth Fairy Project.
The Tooth Fairy Project.
So instead of putting the tooth under the pillow, they send it to you.
Send it to us. You can call our 800 number, which is 1-800-582-3716, and we will send you free envelopes. These are the envelopes. And all you have to do is wrap the tooth in a tissue of paper and mail it to us. We also have a website that people can go to, which is www.radiation.org for organization. And you can get copies of all the papers that we've published in regard to our findings, and you can also order the envelopes to send baby teeth.
Is there any way that you can get back to the donor and tell them how much strontium 90 is in the tooth that they sent to you?
Absolutely. We cannot tell the individual donors, but we can give the results by zip code. And we can particularly have significant results if we get 25 teeth from a particular zip code or adjacent zip codes. We're particularly interested in getting baby teeth from the Hunter's Point community because it's been contaminated for so many years, and we'd like to know what the levels are here. But we are also asking for teeth all around the country.
Now, one of the main vehicles for passing on contamination of strontium 90 is evidently milk, which is supposed to be good for you.
You're absolutely right. And most of the two functioning reactors now in California, San Onofre and Diablo Canyon, are upwind of the valleys where the predominant milk is grown in this state. And this is the main source of strontium 90 in children's diet. You see, the strontium 90 is particularly critical when mothers, you know, who are told to eat a high calcium diet and drink lots of milk so as to nourish strong babies. babies. The critical issue of milk is that mothers are encouraged to drink lots of milk for calcium when they're pregnant, so they have healthy babies. Well, strontium 90 goes along with calcium to the bones and teeth of the developing child. Well, the developing child is about the size of a lima bean when it starts to pick up the strontium 90. This lodges in the baby's teeth and bones. Now, the bones are the main source of immune function and blood cells. So we're seeing a high rate of leukemia in children who were exposed during their mother's pregnancy to strontium 90. It's also linked to a number of malignancies that involve the bone and the cartilage, because this is the period of time when children are growing so rapidly.
Now, what reaction have you had from the milk lobby industry, which is a major agricultural lobby?
Well, so far we haven't heard from them, and I suspect we will not hear from them till we get more teeth and become more successful. I think that'll be the next group we'll hear from.
What are you hoping to do with this project? At what point are you going to make some a more public move on it?
Well, we've had three papers published in the world peer review literature, and we have trying to get out the word to communities, but we will ultimately want to be able to show maps where people live and what the strontium 90 levels are, because so far the work that we have done shows that the levels are highest near nuclear power plants, and they decrease as you get further away from nuclear power plants. We're hoping that this will help the public to understand that these power plants must not be relicensed, which is what the government wants to do right now, and certainly must be closed down. The good news is that my colleague Joe Mangano has studied what's going on around 7 nuclear power plants, and around all 7, the childhood death rate of children newborn to 3 years old has dropped in all 7, between 15% and 55%. So this is one of the factors that's fueling this awful cancer epidemic that we have in the United States. We have to do more than run for the cure. We've got to run for the prevention. We've got to stop causing cancer.
So when the nuclear power plants are closed down, the rate of cancer, strontium 90, decreases, and you'll be able to show that.
Oh, yes. Yes, we've been able to demonstrate that the strontium 90 level comes down, and the childhood death rate also comes down, because they're the most vulnerable. Unborn and children, and we folks over 65 are the most sensitive to nuclear radiation.
Now, there wasn't a nuclear plant immediately close to Hunter's Point, of course, but they did have nuclear radiation experimentation going on with animals. Also, they had the ships that came in from the test sites, and it seems in those days that they really didn't have any idea how much, quote-unquote, radiation was good for you or the body could accept. And how has that changed?
I disagree with you. If I was only 21 years old and I had just a bachelor's degree in biology and chemistry and pretty unsophisticated, if I could understand it, I assure you that the people above me understood it.
Are you trying to say they were willing to sacrifice the lives of their fellow citizens in the interest of science?
Well, I don't know if it's the interest of science or was the interest of a job or the so-called national defense, but what have we done with national defense? We've harmed our entire population.
Well, actually, one might argue that it isn't defense at all, that it used to have a Secretary of War, and then they decided to call it Secretary of Defense.
Right. And we don't have an Office of Peace.
You've written several books dealing with these subjects. Maybe you could tell us about them.
Well, the first one was called Chemical Exposure and Disease, which I wrote after I saw over 8,000 workers, including shipyard workers, foundry workers, welders, painters, agricultural workers. And I wrote it because I got sick of seeing sick people, and I wanted people to be able to figure out why they were sick and how to avoid it. And then last year, my new book came out, which is called Life's Delicate Balance, Causes and Prevention of Breast Cancer. But it's not just breast cancer, because the factors that are fueling the breast cancer epidemic are also fueling the testicular and prostatic cancer in men and cancer in children. And in this book, I cover chemicals and what's called endocrine disruptors. These are chemicals that fool the body into thinking that it's estrogenic or androgenic chemicals. And I also cover radiation in here. And this is the first book ever to cover the early findings of the baby teeth study.
That's Life's Delicate Balance. And who's the publisher?
This is Taylor and Francis Routledge, and it's available on Amazon.com and bookstores all over the place.
I know in Baby Hunter's Point, there are very high rates of breast cancer, prostate cancer, and also leukemia in children. I presume that's one of the reasons you're here.
No, absolutely. People need to know what's going on and need to protect themselves. And if this is a site and causing people's illness, then this place needs to be cleaned up or shut down.
What reaction or experience have you had dealing with the American Medical Association, for example, on this issue?
I have no idea if they're interested at all. I'm not a member.
Well, we've been speaking with Janet Sherman, Dr. Janet Sherman, who is with the Tooth Fairy Project and is in Hunters Point Bayview to spread some of the information that she has and her colleagues have had about working on the problems of cancer caused by nuclear radiation and contaminants in our environment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir, for having me.